Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, Mimi.
Oh. Hey, Gigi.
When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up the glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get queerified.
Hi, I'm Gigi.
Hi, I'm Mimi.
And you are listening to Queerified. Our next guest is mysterious to say the least.
Who is it? I don't know.
I know who's coming over, but I don't know who's showing up.
What? What do you mean?
She has a lot of different faces and a lot of different personas.
Okay, I feel like in my head I'm getting warmer. Give me some clues.
She recently resurrected a character with the help of Balenciaga.
Ooh. Oh, is she made of stone?
No, she's all prosthetics, bitch.
Okay, well, before we get started, don't forget to call in to the Queerified hotline at 1-844-QUEERYS.
That's QUEERYS. Call and ask us anything. We are an open book and we'll help you with everything.
Also, please leave us a nice review in 5 stars if you are so inclined, like this one from Brebeline. She says, this is the most fun, safe space.
She also says, this show is amazing, iconic, important, and it brightens my day. Aw, well, mission accomplished.
Back to our enigmatic special guest.
She is one of the greatest artists of our generation.
An outstanding visionary.
An inspiring genius.
A master of performance art.
And has a tongue that's sharper than Gordon Ramsay's knife.
Here she is.
The Alexis Stone. All right, welcome back, everyone. We are here with... Alexis Stone.
Yes.
Oh my God, you flew the pond to be here.
Just for this. It's been 2 years since I've been here.
I mean, how does the house look? How is she sitting? She's sitting.
She's lasting the length of time.
Did you just call me old?
The house.
Oh,
we're talking about the house,
oh my
right?
God, from the queen of youth herself. Well, thank you for being here.
No, thank you. Thank you. Always flattered.
It is so crazy that you are in LA and like for a long extended period of time, because the last time we actually hung out was for Halloween, I believe.
Yep, two years ago.
Were you dressed as each other?
We were. We actually were. It's gorgeous.
Oh, no, you dressed as Gigi. Mm-hmm.
I love it. We don't do Halloween like you guys do it here. So
it's much better here.
Oh, they like shut down the whole thing.
Oh, Alexis is freaking out. The neighborhood that I live in, there's like hundreds of kids everywhere. She's like, this is not how I grew up. Mm. And I think Halloween's one of the most spookiest and creative times of life. So I feel like you would have thrived as a kid in the States.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to spending my first Halloween here, but with access to everything that it is that I do. Because... you know, like this, we live
what
Halloween.
What would you do?
Like it's, oh, this is fun. Like getting into Guiche is beautiful and sparkly. Halloween, I know a lot of people like to do the slutty and the like.
That's me. Are you speaking to me?
I mean, we wore onesies last Halloween.
Because it was around the neighborhood, not for Insta.
Yeah. But like, give me the moment. I like to be able to walk around as Doubtfire.
Oh, yes.
That would be
oh
like
my God,
a
that
fun
video.
Moment.
Ugh, if you guys haven't seen Alexis Stone as Mrs. Doubtfire, it's uncanny. I mean, he is long gone, the Robin Williams, but you know, you really reincarnated that thing.
You brought her
back. It was insane.
Thanks. It was a fun one. I wanted to, growing up as a queer kid and in a broken family, seeing a parent do the unthinkable just to see their kids. That's the magic of the film to me. I know it means so much to so many people, but I was 27 when we did it. It was 27 years since the film came out. So I was like, well, this is my moment. I'd just done a collaboration with Balenciaga. So my foot was kind of in the doorway. Mm-hmm. And I text Demna, the creative director, and I said, hey, I want to do Doubtfire, but if I'm going to do her, it needs to be like head-to-toe Balenciaga. He loved the idea and he just thought it would be such a fun combination. So we did it. I did it out of my own back pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
pricey. I mean, honestly, those photos were iconic. I feel like that is not a bad little foot to have in the door. Balenciaga.
Just texting Balenciaga creative team. Just, you know, just a quick little text.
It's funny because I think the team in Paris, who I work with and I love, it probably drives them crazy when I'm like, hey, Demna said I can have like whatever I want. And they're like, we're going to run that past him. I'm like, no, he texts me.
Right.
And they're like, okay. So he said we could have the access to the archives. So they sent someone from Paris to supervise.
Wow.
So it was fun. I couldn't touch anything.
Wow. I'm sure. It's, I mean, that is a big deal.
It's fun.
So you talked a little bit about how you grew up and I really want to get into that. But before we get going, Queerified is really a safe space for everybody. So what are your pronouns? I know that you are queen of transformations and all that, but the real Alexis Stone, like, what are your pronouns? How do you identify? Like, give us the breakdown.
I think gender in an overall view is very broad now. I think when I present like this, I've always gravitated towards she and her.
Of course.
Just because for me, that is the fantasy. And like, no one likes to be clocked, even if I do identify as a gay man in my day-to-day living. Like, we don't put all of this time and energy and money and effort into someone being like, here he comes, and I'm looking like this. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah, like, this took 3 hours. Yeah. Thank you, though.
But I'm very comfortable with anything, and I'm glad we live in a world now where you're asked frequently whenever I'm being interviewed or if I'm working with a publication. It's the first question they ask. So there is progression. It depends who you ask. If you ask other people, they'd probably call me it and thing. But for me, she, her, he, whatever.
It is a big, big trajectory that we're on, right? Like in emails, in Instagram bios, Facebook bios, it's literally all here are my pronouns, which is insane to think that that is something that I fought so long for, other people fought so long for, and now it's just on the platform. And I think that like your art is so inspirational like that. So to go back to your childhood, were you always obsessed with makeup? Where does this like transformational aspect come from?
I think growing up in a broken family, I have an identical twin brother as well. Well,
really?
Was identical.
I didn't know that.
At birth, you guys were identical.
Yeah, he's not dead. I've just
changed.
Are there pictures of him online? Or like, can I look him up?
We did a video. No one believed me for the longest time, but we did a video for the first time.
And how could they believe you?
No one fucking believed anything.
No, I barely believe you and we're friends.
Is it really Alexis Stone here or is it a body double? Growing up in a broken family, I think as a gay kid, we all gravitated towards like the femme fatales, whether it was Cruella de Vil. Mine was a little bit more obscure. It was more sort of like the serial killers like Sharon Stone and Eileen Wuornos.
I was about to say Sharon Stone.
Who I love. So for me, my idea of drag and dressing up was Doubtfire. Like, I used to wear fat suits as a kid and like clip on veneers. And as that progressed over the years, I wanted to live my fantasy and look glamorous. But the overall idea of transforming and living in disguise has always been something I gravitated towards, whether it's masks or prosthetics or plastic surgery. It's all within the same realm of why I do what I do. And some of it's a little bit more drastic and some of it comes with higher risks, but it's dressing up, and who doesn't love fucking dressing up?
Has that transformation ever seeped into your real life? Like, have you ever thought you were trans? Have you ever questioned your gender identity? A lot of us have.
For sure. I think, and I'm grateful I grew up in a household where I could, to a degree, play with my expression. I grew up in the 90s. So if I was to do that whole process again, it probably would have gone a different route. I think wanting to wear dresses and collecting Barbie dolls and saying to my mom, like, hey, I want to be a woman. I now know the fine lines between like paying homage and it being a gender conversation. And for me, it was never about gender. I just wanted to pay homage. So whilst I love the fantasy and all of this, there's nothing greater for me to be able to like peel it off and be
it
my
was an
authentic
art form.
Self. For sure.
It was your medium.
I love that. So within the community, who would you say is your biggest inspiration? Is it the gays? Is it the T-girls? Is it like, what is it for you? What like drives you? Yeah. Like what? I really want to hear about that. And who are they? Also, who is your inspiration? If people are listening and they don't know, maybe they're going to deep dive into one of your icons and be like, bitch, I'm inspired now too.
I mean, I've lived with trans women my whole life. So being by their side, I've had the best upbringing in terms of being around the dolls. You learn a lot in a very it's not something that, unless you're aware of or around, you can really understand. Like, you see the beauty and the fantasy and the end result, but there's a lot of heartache. And yes. I've had the pleasure of holding mm-hmm. my sister's hands, wiping blood from their faces. I've even buried a couple of them. It's not as glamorous overall as the end result can often be. Mm-hmm. And that really has, like, prepared me for life. So we all go through our own struggles, but for my sisters mm-hmm. out there that constantly just face the world every day, like, there's so much respect and confidence and admiration for that. So trans women have always been my sort of mm-hmm. what I know best, my chosen family, if you wish. But in terms of inspiration, when it comes to what I do, I mean, I've always been gravitated towards the extreme side. So someone very dear to me, Jocelyn Wildenstein, who most people know as mm-hmm. The infamous Catwoman.
Yes, love her.
Who I love her.
Literally.
The other day,
yes.
We have a very bonkers relationship. I call her mother.
Love her.
There's just something so beautiful in being unapologetically yourself in your appearance. And,
yes.
It's just the ultimate fuck you. And like,
it is. And you know what? That is what a lot of trans women give. It is mm-hmm. an internal struggle, right? Like, we do go through this battle of, you know, building this thick ass skin and being like, mm-hmm. anyone can say anything to my face or online, whatever. And, you know, it's not going to break me. But it also, being a trans woman, the beauty standards are out of control. And we're all fighting with being feminine yep. and being passable and being all of this. And you grow to put it at bay. But I think people like you who really, you know, aren't trans women really relate with that so much because of the savageness of it all. And like, I feel like your transformations and everything is just so extreme, just like the cat ladies are. Like, you know, it's like there's a respect there, because as much as we want to act like, you know, this is our fantasy life, the photos we put online, we are still going to 7-Eleven. We are still traveling on planes. Mm-hmm. Like, people see us, and there is a confidence that you need to build looking a certain way. Even if it is, you know, traditionally beautiful, you may look a little bit out of the box, or you may yes. rub someone the wrong
Authenticity
way.
Authenticity is everything. Like, when someone does whatever they want, I was talking to Tiffany actually about this. I was watching, I'm not going to say it because it's going to sound so sick. Maybe bleep this, but I was watching Euphoria.
No, say it.
Don't
bleep this.
I love Nate. I don't know what it is, but I just love it when people do whatever the fuck they want. It's mm-hmm. like a turn on for me. It's like my toxic trait. It's sick. But when someone does whatever the fuck they want, it turns me on. I don't know what it is, but it turns me on.
It's the unhingedness.
Like, can you relate to that?
Maybe it's the unhingedness. Yeah, because I feel like in any other aspect but Nate's from Euphoria, I would be on board, but she's a mess.
I don't know what it is. I'm just like, yes, you do that. It's just, you'd never see it in real life. You always see people being fake and putting something on and holding back. Holding back to me is just, it's an ick. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
I agree. Do you think I hold back, Mark? Because I'm kind of like,
I don't, I would not be friends with you
situations.
If you did. No,
okay.
It's different with you. It's different with you because you're very tactful. I'll say that.
Okay.
You have tact.
I love that word.
Maybe that is it. Because when you were describing that, I'm like, wait, do I do that? Because that could be like a little fake, but
genuine.
I want to like protect myself.
No, exactly. You're very genuine, but you know when to do it and then when it's going to hurt somebody, when it's going to turn somebody off, when it's going to affect someone in a bad way, you don't do it. And that's something I struggle with, to be honest, because I'm very tactless, but you're very tactful.
Oh my God, work. Put me at mm-hmm. war.
Dangerous.
Yeah, right. Another word, a synonym, dangerous.
You have to, though. I think growing up trans or queer, you have to have your wits about you. And it's very much a case mm-hmm. of like reading the room. And
absolutely.
Even like the proclaimed safe spaces, you still have to mm-hmm. like have your wits about you. I think we all scream for equality and all of that, but we're the first to tear each other mm-hmm. down.
It's
so true. We talk about that a lot, actually. And mm-hmm. having your wits about you is important in any field. I think, you know, the second that you let that down in your whole life, I think that you really get to choose maximum like 3 to 5 people, including family, that you really can just be yourself and act mm-hmm. up and act crazy. But for the most part, people will use it against you.
Yeah,
and like
sad.
It mm-hmm. also goes to the point that you're here in LA, and I feel like LA is the capital of that kind of behavior.
Yes,
how,
it is.
How's it different? Right, exactly. Everyone has an agenda. Barely mm-hmm. anyone is genuine. And the negativity really can get to you. But you've already kind of built up your thick skin overseas. And I kind of relate to this as well. I feel like I have in Canada. What's different about social media in the UK versus here now that you've spent a good amount of time here? And does it get to you?
Social media has definitely put a sting in my tail. That's the best way to describe it. And I think growing up on social media, I've made lots of mistakes. I look back and it gives me the ick. And I think if I could go back, I would have done... I think we all would have gone back and done things very differently.
Of course.
It's a part of our digital footprint and it makes us who we are. And I think as a viewer, there's something really heartwarming about watching someone make just life's mistakes and learn from those. Mm-hmm. We obviously live in a world now where it's not so
You're not
much...
allowed to make mistakes.
Of course. But people now, it's a witch hunt. They... scream and crave change, but they don't particularly want change. Now it's a death sentence if you make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And it really has put the fear of God into so many people. Me, I don't particularly care. My goal is to stay canceled so I can't be canceled again.
I was going to ask you, do you believe in cancel culture? Because no. I believe in education culture.
But it's so
different.
Much progressive.
That's different.
It's more aggressive at the moment.
Definitely.
I see these kids and I'm like... they really be going after the good ones as well. I'm like, no yeah. one's yes. safe.
You know, it's like if you didn't have mental health issues and anxiety, now you do. Because especially if you're just coming up, like the kids on TikTok, like I love TikTok. It's so much fun. I'll post one like whenever I'm feeling it. But it is so savage and so sad.
I don't read the comments on TikTok.
Oh, I love the comments. Everyone's really nice to me because I'm not like, that. I don't really go that savage. I actually go to other people's comments because people are like comedians, low key.
I like it when they're clever.
That's what I mean.
Go kill yourself. That's
they're
like
funny.
An off the cuff
oh,
one.
God.
That's
when it's comedy, it's good. But when it's so serious, it's like, relax, babe.
Like
it's
if like, a guy.
It's the internet.
I watched this one the other day. This guy, he always cooks shirtless, but with an apron on. And I literally am not like a foodie like that, but I just genuinely enjoy the process of like the ingredients of making food. I'm like, oh, that looks good at the end. So I'm watching him and he turns around at one point and he has like bruises on his back and they look like fingers, right? Like from a girl gripping his back. And it's intentional. The cut is intentional. Yeah. He wanted you to see it. And
of
all of the comments are like, are we, and it was like for a mac and cheese recipe, something silly. But like all of the comments were like, are we not going to talk about the bruises on his back? Like just like funny like that. And I just love that other people pick up on that shit. Like it really makes me giggle.
It's
so
a
things
new
like
generation.
That.
It's a new generation.
They're smarter. They're quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that
you don't think they're
hope.
Smarter. Alexis made a face.
Oh, okay.
No, they're very clever.
Uh-huh.
Full stop.
But they're very strong-willed, and they also, you know, I think a lot of cancel culture is just projection. Mm-hmm. You can't give people meaning to what they're not saying. Like if they're saying something it's not and you're taking it the wrong way, that's on you, babe. That is not what they're saying.
I'm
usually.
28. Like when I have kids.
Oh my God,
like,
you're younger than us.
Yeah, you're younger than us.
How old are you?
29.
Are you really?
49.
I could, yeah.
Oh, shut the fuck
you
up.
Look,
you're 49.
Well, no one's gonna know. It's funny when like the kids, because they've watched a few videos, they think they can sort of direct adults navigating their way through an already pretty fucked up world. So I find something whimsical about that, especially the ones that try and educate you that still live in their like mum's spare bedroom and like they're waiting for dinner, which is like cheese on toast, and they're like finding the spare time to like tell other people how to live their life, and they do feel very empowered because they follow you, therefore they think that you owe them your life, which
exactly
whether they like it or not, it's just not the reality. So I take it with a pinch of salt. Everyone has room for growth. It's a good thing. If we all stayed the same where we were 10 years ago in terms of humor and TV and media, that shit doesn't wash now.
Exactly.
And I think it's important not to erase it, because you can't do that. It was a moment in time. And I think regardless of the humor that made us who we are and shaped our personalities, anyone with any common sense can recognize that it's just not where we're at now. And it's accepted. It is what it is. It's not appropriate. But moving forward, we all have room to grow and learn.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
A lot of your art is performance. And, you know, art is subjective. How does it feel when, you know, people take it not in the way that you wish they would?
Do you know what? It's the fun that comes with it. The only bit that I find a little bit disheartening is when you put your life and soul into something. And of course, where social media is at now, you have no idea how something's going to be portrayed or taken or appreciated. And as an artist, that just comes with the field. I think we can all speak where we feel our fantasy. We put our life and soul into a bulk of work. We post it and sometimes there's crickets. But we also live in a world now where that's online forever. And you never know when that moment's going to pop back up. And there's been specific things that I've worked on over the years that have not been received how I intended it. When I did the plastic surgery project, that was very much me living my fantasy. I was booked to have those surgeries done in Iran. They checked my social media. They saw that I was a glorified puff and they didn't let me in. So I then started sobriety and I rung my friend David, and very close to Doubtfire, I said, I need a face. So we replicated everything that I was going to have done. We did it with plastic surgery. And by the end of it, because people were so mean online, just because I had pursued my idea of beauty, it was very much translated as this social experiment of turning the mirror on people. And whilst that wasn't what I intended, it was one of those unknown territories that was really beautiful to highlight. And it wasn't what I had intended, but art is subjective and it means so many different things to so many people. And that's what good art should do, is invoke more questions than answers.
And you put yourself in history with that.
You did. Yeah. Walk us down the line of, for anybody that's not aware, walk us down the line of the surgeries that you planned to get done, didn't do, and then built a fake face around, making people think that you did.
And people were so offended that you didn't.
I mean, there were so many different ways why that project worked to the scale it did. But I think at that time, it was a problematic time on social media. We were all arguing. All the kids were arguing. We were pushing each other to the fucking suicide point. And they really needed to vent and they needed a target board. And the place where I was with sobriety and ruining my life, I came about money and I'd never experienced anything like it. I fell into cocaine abuse. And when you're gay famous, being a fabulous drag queen, and you turn up to a venue, they expect you to do cocaine. They expect you to turn the party. And it was very appealing until I fucked it up for myself. And I had a lot of self-hatred and there was a lot of things that I was ashamed of. And I put myself in a position where I was like, right, I want the world to hate me right now. And I took some time behind closed doors. I didn't leave the house for 3 months unless I had the plastic surgery face on. It was intense. And I wouldn't say I came out of it a better person. But for those that aren't aware, I basically wore prosthetics for 3 months, having convinced them that I'd gotten to have extensive plastic surgery, because
we were actually together in Paris and we were there for a work trip, essentially. I mean, it was my family, but we were there working. And she had these huge cheeks. Everyone thought that they were real. And I mean, you tell the rest of the story.
I think anyone that does anything to their face publicly, you're going to get dragged because people have
Which is so weird.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. It's like people have this mindset that you have to look like you did when you were 16 for the rest of your life.
Yes.
But I'm not clinging on to being like a scraggly little twink. That doesn't pay my bills. Being fabulous and like doing the unspeakable does.
And the gag was that she came out with a prosthetic collaboration soon after. So they were fake cheeks and everyone were thinking that they were real. And it was a huge gag. I think it also just goes to show you that, you know, this ideal beauty, like we look at like the most iconic, not even iconic, not like the Sophia Lorenz and Marilyn Monroe's of the world, who, you know, of course had their things done as well. But the ones that are really, really successful and famous today, that it's like, that's so beautiful. When they got their things done and, you know, there's speculation of all the change, there's so much hatred and criticism, but we learn to grow with it because they're thriving, because they're confident.
Isn't it weird when someone points out somebody else's lip injections? I never understand when people are like on Twitter, be like, oh my God, her lip injections are so bad. They look like duck lips. That is so mean. Like, it's why crazy. Would you tweet about someone else's plastic surgery like that? That is so weird and mean to me. And it's so normalized. It's so normalized to talk about people's plastic surgery like that in the
and
in
it's,
public.
It's different too. Like, I will say, before I got anything done, it was like, oh, that girl totally has had a nose job. Going through having a nose job or anything, it's so much different in real life. Like, I feel so horrible for the girls that have, you know, bad work or work that, you know, they're getting hated for and, you know, that you know that they're not confident and stuff like that. Like, it sucks because it's a dangerous game. Like, I think that people hurt people hurt people. And I think that that's just something that, like, if you lash out online over someone's looks, like, that speaks more volumes about
that's so
you,
weird.
Babe.
Agree. And, like, someone's personality trait can be a lot more unappealing and unattractive than the way they look.
Yes,
like exactly.
Being an ugly person, you can't get work done on that. Yeah, I mean, you can get therapy, but
it takes time.
Cheaper to get a rhinoplasty.
I mean, I feel like you could just be the most confident person and you just have everybody knocking at your door wanting to take you out. Like, it is, like, confidence and personality is infectious and you just... people just look at you for like 5 seconds and they're like, wow, so beautiful, whatever. Now let's talk. Like they're more into the conversation. It always is like that. You'll notice that with everybody.
It's funny how beauty standards are constantly changing. I mean, we look at Marilyn Monroe, rhinoplasty, chin implant, celebrated as like the ultimate beauty icon. We look at people now like Kim Kardashian, like pumped, stunning, like it's giving a fantasy. And now girls are going to Turkey, Brazil, getting Brazilian butt lifts. So we all joke about it, but it's... And whether people like it or not, when Kim leaves planet Earth, she'll be remembered as like the Marilyn Monroe of beauty. I mean, people now
absolutely
want the body. I mean, 10 years ago, women were wearing jeans too small because they wanted that thin Paris Hilton,
low
Sharon
rise.
Stone, like flat bum. Now,
complete opposite. What do you
surgery.
Think? I want to ask this surgery question. This is very like just intrusive of me, but what's something you've had done or something, you know, like a friend has had done, which is like so scary, so horrible, you know, stay away from, because I will say about like that body type, the hourglass, I look at that body type so much that I don't even see it as surgery anymore. I'm like, that girl's really curvy. She looks really beautiful. Like, that's just not my body. I really don't see it as like so fake. When people say like, this girl's had so much work done, she's
me
had
neither.
So much work done. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, has she? Because she just has looked like that for so long. She looks beautiful.
Yeah. I think, I mean, faces are faces. That's never going to change in terms of things you can have done. But when it comes to body, I mean, whether it's filler or fat transfers, I recently had silicone injections, and I know it's a big, like, controversial
subject. I was
going
to bring that up, but yeah.
For me, I try not to go into anything with the idea of it being permanent, but when it comes to certain parts of my body, I want there to be permanent changes, and that's okay. I'm a 28-year-old adult. I'm going to make those decisions, which I have thought long and hard about, especially when you're having something like silicone put into you, which is not regulated anymore. For whatever reason, we could talk
about it. Was?
It was always a very taboo subject. You have medical grade silicone, but because the dolls are obviously pumped.
Overpumped. Yeah.
And it's free flowing silicone. You don't know what that's going to look like in 60 years time. So I think as a safety precaution, they just made it completely.
Kiboshed it.
It's not going to stop any of us. If we want something done, we'll find a way.
Right. And they do that. What's it called? It's like some kind of gel. It's not silicone, but it's my friend had it done.
Filler?
Yeah, it's like in your butt, but it's like something gel, like hydrogel or something.
I love that. It's expensive here.
Is it?
Oh, you buy a syringe here, and I think it's like $10,000.
And then what's silicone?
What?
Silicone is permanent, so once it's in, it's in.
It's not going to dissolve like a Juvederm or anything like that?
Obviously, when I'm older, in like 30 years, I'm going to look like a fucking egg in a sock. But I have like the resources, and I always encourage people to do this. We can all do work overnight if we wanted to. You've got to think about the longevity of it, because people always say to me, well, what are you going to look like when you're 80? Bitch, I'm going to look the same if I
gorgeous.
Want.
Gorgeous.
I'm going to look exactly the same if I want to.
I love that question. Wow. Okay. This is quickly turning into the plastic surgery podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we didn't think that this would happen, Mimi, but I agree. Willem said to me actually one time, she's like, I love that I look at you and I see that you're going to look the same when you are 60. Yeah. And I was like, are you calling me old? But she's like, no, I just know that you're going to keep up with the Joneses and you're not going to like let anything go. And I was like, love that. And I just think that vanity is so fun. It's fun in moderation. I mean, I know you take it to the extreme, but everyone does sometimes and you reel it back. It's just like a fun little thing, and it does play with your confidence. Like anybody that's asking like, oh, I really want to get my boobs done, but my boyfriend doesn't want me to, or my nose job, or, you know, like everyone's like saying this, you get it done, bitch.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, you look amazing.
Oh, I meet people.
Yes.
I mean, I probably shouldn't say this.
Say
I
it.
Meet a lot of people. I see a lot of faces. And there's always room for like tweaking, but I get that it's not for everyone and it's a lot more affordable just to like embrace what you were given.
Right.
But I think I love the science and I love meeting surgeons who really get the vision. And you have to see a lot of surgeons. Some of them, they have a different sense of style. But when you find surgeons that get the fantasy and they say, when you say, I want a little cocaine nose that looks like Michelle Pfeiffer, they go, okay, well, you're going to be wearing nose tapes for the next 6 months, but by the end of it, you're going to be fucking snatched.
Right.
I live for that. I get it's me not too. Everyone. But anyone that comes at me and says, well, you're fake, you're this, like, you must hate yourself. I say, bitch, what do you want done? I'll pay for it. You see the
they're
fucking
projecting.
You see the eyes fucking light
they
up.
They live. And everyone's in fucking drag. I mean, even like men in business suits. It's like, girl,
absolutely.
We it's know you'd rather be drag. In sweatpants. Exactly. Like, what are you talking about? We're all in drag. It's just some people are prettier.
Sephora stores are everywhere you are. So just pop in when you need a brown lip to match your 90s playlist. A confidence boost before your interview. Or a last-minute gift for mom's birthday. There's always a Sephora near you. Just pop in. Use our store locator to find your local Sephora or Sephora at Kohl's.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I like this. You are not afraid to give your controversial opinions on anything. We have a list of people that we want to tell you.
Oh,
some
yes.
of which you had drama with, some of which are completely random. And the game, this is a game, is that you have to tell a story or tell us your honest thoughts on them.
Okay, cool.
Are you down for that?
It's influencers, like Mimi said, some of which you've had drama with, some of which... We don't even think that you know. We just compiled a list and we have a little roulette board of your followers. And
this game is called Shady Lady. And Danny, start the music. Here we go.
You could be a shady or you could be a lady. I'll go first.
Okay, go.
Okay, so this is the first one. You actually transformed me into him.
Okay.
In makeup, Jeffree Star.
Iconic, a part of internet icon. He described himself to me as trailer trash with money. So I'ma leave that description. I think I grew up in that world.
I feel the same a little bit.
Me too.
About myself.
Did you, we grew up?
I know.
No.
But I can appreciate the moment in time, but times change.
Yeah, it was MySpace times. That was our generation. We were there when Jeffree Star was touring.
When you dragged someone in a fucking bulletin. That was the time. That was
what was that? Wait, what?
A bulletin was like
a bulletin on MySpace.
Like status. It was like a status.
Oh, a bullet. Yeah, right. I thought you meant like a bulletin board. He like dragged someone by that with like darts attached to their clothes. A visual.
Digital. Okay, next person, Nikita Dragon.
Oh.
I've never met Nikita. I spoke to her years ago. She actually I think she was having a rhinoplasty, and I was having a rhinoplasty as well, and we sort of like bounced off each other in terms of that. I think it's from a viewer, some of these kids are willing to go and do whatever it is to stay relevant, and it's dangerous, which I think we've seen play out on social media over the years. I don't know where she's at in life. I wish her all the best. She's gorgeous. She's an inspiration.
Gorgeous.
But, it does scare me how far people are willing to go in terms of killing themselves off for views. And
that's a good word, scares me, because sometimes I've been on her lives and it's like, are you okay? Like, yeah. As a person,
you never know what someone's
are you
going
okay?
through. It's such a testament to that. People can look perfect. People can act like it's everything together. We have all done it, you know, maybe not in that spotlight aspect, but... I mean, I know I can relate to that. It's like you act like everything's fine and behind closed doors, you are screaming and throwing shit because you are so going through it. Yeah. And I wish her the same. Okay, I'll go next. RuPaul. For a queen that's never been on Drag Race and a queen that's actually openly denied Drag Race.
Yep.
Wait, what?
Maybe you didn't know?
No.
Oh
no,
my
no,
God.
No, I did not know.
Give her Alexis.
No. I was... asked to anticipate on a season, which I entertained during COVID because I was bored.
Okay.
I just don't think, and it might just be the demons in my head, I can't imagine World of Wonder saying, let's take someone who already is stable financially and successful, put them on a show, and then give them a crown. I can't imagine them wanting to give me the satisfaction of that. I think they have a narrative that you have to go on Drag Race to become both of those things. And for whatever reason, whether people like it or not, or agree to disagree, I've done it without Drag Race. And I am a testament to being able to do it without Drag Race. And I was made for years to not be able to say that. And I'm not in a position now where I'm going to dumb myself down or like degrade my set of skills. So look, it might happen in the future. I can't imagine it happening right now.
I hope that it will, because you know what? I see...
That would be funny.
And you know what? It's not about the crown. I really don't think that it is. I mean, you would go on really just to have fun with it. Putting myself in your shoes, I'd be like, I'm going to have fun with this little TV game.
Oh, it would be...
obviously going to win, but like, so what if the machine doesn't want you to
win?
But
it's a reality show.
That's everything.
Like, they can't control her. Like, it would never work because they can't control her. They would never, she would never do what they would want her to. They would never be able to fit her in a box. Like, I don't even know what box Alexis Stone would fit in.
Right.
I don't know. Like,
I just
she's
don't
not
think
a reality
it would
TV person.
Be a, it's not going to be, oh my God, Alexis is on Drag Race. I think it would be a, why is Alexis on Drag Race?
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, I see both sides of the coin because I just want to see you on Selfishly
as a fan.
Oh God,
it would be a gag.
Yes.
It would be a fucking gag.
And it would be so fun to watch. I'd be like, everyone, where's the popcorn? Alexis is on TV.
I think it's the having
stirring
a mic
the dolls.
24/7. Like, I would struggle with that. I also struggled at the idea of signing away my medical notes because I've worked so hard on myself over the years, and to give a production company that are there to exploit your good and bad, I'm just not there.
Oh, okay.
And
I didn't
they
think
sit
about
me
that.
Down and they say, hey, do you want to talk about like, let's talk about your boyfriend that killed himself. I'm just not going to, I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. I'm not giving viewers that entertainment.
Protecting yourself.
You have to, especially now where I'm at with having a makeup brand and working with these big brands. I have to be careful with what I say. I would love to run my mouth. I grew up sucking straight dick and like, that was my background.
I mean, haven't we all?
So I'm not PG and I'm not where the world is right now and I'm okay with that. But I would love to meet RuPaul.
Okay, yes. She's everything.
Maddie Metamorphosis.
I've not watched the show, but I saw a funny meme, and it was RuPaul saying, we've prepared a song for you to lip sync, and they start playing fucking Ed Sheeran. Because what is she going to do when they put, like, Liza Minnelli on? Or like
she's going to have to learn the song like the rest of the girls. What do you mean? I haven't watched the show either, actually, so I can't really speak to it.
I can't. I don't know. I don't know. So
okay.
I love the concept, but I think little.
Okay. Did you just go or did I?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Your turn.
I have a good one. It's, I mean, she technically is the original influencer, but I really want to know your thoughts. I feel like you are maybe the exact opposite than Paris Hilton. What do you think about her?
Very clever. Mm-hmm. I think most people can view that. I think for those that weren't aware up until recently, which really shocks me, that it's kind of like a persona. In terms of being born into a certain lifestyle, to do what she's done, it's a lot harder than people think. I think, well, people go, well, she was born into money and, well, she had a great platform. What she's done with it is Paris Hilton. It doesn't, you can go anywhere in the world and say that name, and whether it's from The Simple Life or just being overall fabulous, it's drag. That's good old drag.
The thing is, it is. And the thing is, a lot of the time, I think people are so quick to cut down those that were born into money or that seem like they have it all or never had to work a day in their lives. It is, in some aspects, so much harder for those people to break out of their families and do their own thing. I mean, I've seen it firsthand, and that's why I have so much respect for Paris Hilton, because she really has done that, and she's made it look so effortless, and she's just now coming forward and talking about all of it, and she's actually been on the pod sitting exactly where you are, Alexis, and I love this bitch. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you are everything.
I love it. I think it's genius.
Okay, work.
I gained great enjoyment from watching her.
I was very intrigued to see what you thought, because she is a plastic surgery free girl. We are pro surgery.
Never had.
She said no. Mm-mm, she's not had anything done.
Well, she looks fucking. I don't think she has.
She does. No, she hasn't.
Well, we can talk about the Los Angeles secret.
Nothing face, no injectables. No, she swears by that.
What's the Los Angeles?
I can't confirm or deny, but.
Oh, let's bleep that, because she told me that in confidence.
Okay, my turn?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Nikki Tutorials.
Oh, which was your first transformation ever?
I think she's beautiful. I think she's done a really good job of not getting involved in the nonsense of her friends. And I understand that. We used to talk back in the day, and I think when I made the mistakes of life, she distanced herself, rightfully so. But it's just it's beautiful watching someone thrive and flourish. I do cringe at how PG everything is. Like,
yeah.
Girl, we're in a room on our own filming videos. Like, you're not laughing at anyone. Like, but that's just me being crude, and I like.
A producer. Say what you want to say.
Look, she has her audience. It's very PG Disney. Mm-hmm. I'm rotten. Like, I can't imagine sitting there and talking about sucking dick and like topping the trade. Mm-hmm. So what she does is lovely.
Mm-hmm. You know what's weird about her though, before we go on? She was really upset with Ellen for not saying hi to her. And I was like, Ellen is not going to say hi to you, bitch.
Ellen,
like,
don't
what are you?
Care. Ellen don't care. You ain't like, Angelina
she's
Jolie.
She's busy.
Yeah.
She's busy.
Ellen got it bad.
She did.
Britney Spears and Jamie Lynn.
Oh, wow.
What do you think about that whole situation? Mm-hmm. Did you kind of deep dive and like divulge in it? Like, give me everything. Because it's a sibling rivalry and it's savage.
I think
it's intense.
There's never been a scenario like this. So I think it's very easy to say, well, it's so embarrassing watching two grown women. But she hasn't grown up in a normal situation and scenario like many adults. So I think whatever it is that she's going through, rightfully so, she needs to be heard. It's the first time in her life. Mm-hmm. Do I think social media is the right platform? No, of course not. I think it could be resolved over like a dinner or like a private phone call. But I also understand when someone puts nonsense out about you or a narrative that you don't believe is true for whatever reason, you do need to clear your name. And I think it was so easy for so many years to say, well, Britney was crazy. I'm just like, it's interesting to watch, to say the least, and I just hope that they get to a place of peace. I don't know if they'll ever get there, because Jamie feels some kind of way about the incredibly privileged life she has been given by the hard work of her sister. And I completely understand everyone's voice is valid, but in the same breath, you're not Britney Spears.
Tact.
Girl.
Tact.
It is so entertaining, but also so heartbreaking.
Oh, it is.
Like,
it's
I just see like the legal stuff and everything coming out, and I can't help but read it because I'm a fan of both of them. And it's like, I just think that it's so heartbreaking, but like, I am in it, and I'm so happy that Britney is free. I'm so happy that Jamie has a book, but like, everything going on is just like, wow, bitch. Like, this is so intense. So I had to ask you.
Yeah.
What about James Charles?
I think growing up on the internet is not easy. I think what he went through, regardless of the morals behind it, having two grown adults come at a child like that could have ended in suicide. It really could have. I don't think anyone deserves to go through that. Regardless of their intent, I do have a place of sympathy towards everyone. I don't think we have much in common. I get the straight man. I wish him all the best. He's a child. He's growing up. I hope he lives his best fantasy. I think when these kids get invited to these Kardashian events. I think they seem to forget that they really are just sort of like a ticking box on the marketing team's strategy of being like, well, let's invite the puff in makeup and let's invite this and that. I think they get this Kardashian lifestyle and they get so involved in the fantasy where they convince themselves that that is what they are.
It's real, but it's not.
And again, it's scary. And I really hope it doesn't end in something really tragic, which if it was to happen again, I think would. So all the best.
But what are your thoughts? Because James Charles to me is like a no-go.
I mean, he's a pedophile.
It's the pedophile for me. It's really hard for me to reconcile that fact that he was going after these young boys.
And he publicly admitted to it. I'm like, why did the authorities not seize his phone and laptop and legally rule out any foul play? Because I'm sure if they took his hard drive and his iCloud,
it would have gone messy.
Girl, she should be behind bars or at least investigated. But she's white and she's rich. So
yeah,
she's untouchable.
Hello.
But I'm also from England. So
there's a video I watched of like English people like back in the 50s or something. Like, I think the question was like, would you date a 16-year-old girl? And everyone was like, absolutely.
Oh, they would have been married by then.
Oh my God.
Back in the 50s, they're like, nah, I'm not into cougars.
So we are about to take a quick break. Will you stay with us for some of our listeners' queries?
No. Yes, of course.
Okay. Alexis Stone is now leaving. We'll be right back, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, welcome back. We are here to answer some of your calls. If you are unaware, which you definitely are not, you can call us at 1-844-QUERIES. That's QUEERYS. Call and ask us anything. Nothing is off limits, bitch. We want R-rated, PG, 14A, whatever, wherever you're at.
Anything.
Give it to us. So Alexis, are you ready to dive into some questions?
I'm ready.
Okay, give it to us, Mimi.
Hey, girl. My name is Sia, and I live in Los Angeles. And I really want to... I think it would be best for you guys to talk, well, not best, I think it would be a good idea for you guys to bring, have a podcast episode on, transgenders that are like out here in Hollywood that are, you know, are homeless and stuff like that. And because I have experienced homelessness and how, like, it's really hard out here, especially when you're a working girl. But like, I thought it would be cute for that, to let people know and inform people of what it's like for a girl out here in Hollywood. Thank you. Bye.
Sierra, thank you for calling again. We've heard from you before, and that's a great idea. I think that we should have somebody. What do you think about that, Gigi?
Oh, I'm obsessed. I actually, it's very funny that she brings that up. She's in LA. I could have ran into her today. I was at the LGBT Center in Hollywood, and I was having a doctor's appointment, and in the waiting room, I was sitting with my husband and my best friend, and we ran into this girl named Diamond, and she literally is exactly what you described, and we were talking about the podcast and just her situation, and I got so inspired because it's my city. I live here now. I really don't see that aspect in the thick of it like she did, and I thought that this is so inspiring and could also just change my perception on it, because I have tons of friends who are working girls, as she said. I get it. I've never done it, but I think that we could learn a lot from it. And this is a safe space, and I feel like we absolutely need to have her or somebody from the same walk of life on.
Mm-hmm. Sierra, call us back. Do you have anything to say, Alexis?
Growing up with trans women, I've seen it all. I've seen the good and the bad of it. I think as a working girl, as a trans woman, it's expensive to transition, and we don't live in a
and
world
and it's survival.
Now. Oh, it's not all glamorous, and... you got to do what you got to do. And I completely sympathize for that. It's dangerous. And I just hope that people stay safe. But it's a really unspoken truth that I think a lot of people need to hear, because we live in a world now where people see the end result and they don't know the ins and outs of how rough it can be out there for a lot of the girls. And yeah, it's definitely a message that needs to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sierra. Okay, our second caller.
Wait, I just realized I'm not gay, so am I allowed to leave a question or a voicemail?
No.
Bye, have a good day.
Absolutely not. Do what? Not call in if you are straight.
Oh my God. Ew, that made me so sad.
I'm kidding.
Well, yes, please call back with your question. That was actually really cute. I feel like that could be like a sound on TikTok or something. I really want to hear what you had to say. Allies are welcome. Bitch, if you've been listening, we've had allies on the pod. Here's a safe space. I mean, yeah, get it. But that was really cute. Yeah. We're going to have to definitely save that.
Yeah, ask us any of your questions. I want to give you relationship advice. Come on. Okay. Our third and last query. Here we go.
Hey, Gigi. I'm Kyle. I'm in Alberta. But I live in Montreal. Anyways, I just want to know, what is your unsung hero moment? Because I feel like everyone has been a hero in a moment that no one saw. And what was a time where you were a hero and you were never recognized for it? Like, what is your unsung hero moment? Tell us.
Oh my God, you're literally asking us to show ourselves off. Oh my God, this is such a weird question, but Gigi, let's let Alexis go first. What is your unsung hero moment, Alexis?
God, just surviving.
This is such a hard question.
Just being here has been exhausting. That's a tough one.
Should we like think on it for a second?
Let's think on it. Maybe I'll give one for Gigi.
Oh, Mark, you read my mind. I was going to ask you. I have the worst memory ever, and I don't even know.
Obviously, there are so many, but one thing that sticks out to me was how you handled all of this, like at 16. Yes. Like when we were 16 years old.
That's a good one.
Love that. Thanks.
But when we were 16 years old, like you had nurses of like cancer patients reaching out to you and were like, hey, like I have somebody, they have cancer and you know, like they really love you. And you literally just took that on. You took that on.
We would drive together. What you need to do. We would get Starbucks and drive together and go. It was like not a thing.
It was not a thing, but looking back at that, that is a lot to take on as a 16-year-old.
Oh, bitch. I feel like at 16, I had already lived. I was way older than 16 in my heart.
Yeah.
Wow, I sound like Britney Spears. In my heart? No, I really do. Well, thanks, Mark. Mm-hmm. Anything you can think of, Alexis?
I don't know. Unsung,
like maybe something, thinking about it like with a different lens, like something that you haven't posted, something that people don't see.
It's the authenticity for me. People don't understand how hard it is for someone to be authentic. And like they don't get enough credit for that.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's really hard to talk about your life because people struggle to relate to anything unless they've experienced it. But there have been like serious things that I've gone through like over the years. And it does really take a lot of energy just to get out of bed. So, I'm proud of where I'm at. I'm proud of what I'm able to give out to the world because there's so many people out there wanting to see you fail and shit on you. And to be able to turn around and go, actually, no, I'm not ready fucking just yet.
Yes. So your mental health, technically, is that what you're saying? Like your determination?
I relate to that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like I've done a good job of taking all of the energy, the good and the bad, and channeling it into something what I would like to be. If anything, not my words, just what I put out into the world. I hope if anything, it just like inspires people because growing up in a broken family and sort of teaching your way on your own to navigate a relatively healthy and normal lifestyle whilst doing all of this, it's rough and it's tough. But given the time, you do find your tribe and you can thrive. So,
you know what's funny? This just made me think of this while you were saying all that. I really was taken to a place of when you said everyone has to get out of bed in the morning or it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. It's very interesting to think and switch your lens and think everyone has to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
And in your day, you might be waiting in the longest line at the DMV or like just having the shittiest fucking day, not feeling cute about yourself, whatever the case may be. You could think about your most inspirational person that you think they might be going through the same thing. Like they are on this planet with gravity, breathing air, the same air that you are, and they had to get out of bed the same way that you did. And maybe they didn't even fucking get out of bed, bitch. Maybe that they are so depressed. Yeah. They're going through it. It's it really is like a mindset switch, mm-hmm. not to think yeah. that someone's doing worse than you, just the fact that we're all in this together.
Yep, agreed.
That's the hardest thing is that I don't know why this happens to all of us, but we all think we're alone. We all think that we have no one else doing the same thing as us. And, you know, it's once you realize that it does, like you said, it does change a switch and that it does. You don't have to feel alone because there is somebody else out there who's feeling the exact same way as you are and that have gone through the same thing and come out on the other side.
I mean, I couldn't think of a better way to wrap this up. This took a turn. I will say a lot of podcast guests, turn. I know what I'm getting in for. We got really deep on plastic surgery, of course, but a lot of other things. Thank you for being super vulnerable.
Thanks. I think it's the best way, best policy.
So what are you working on? Where can people find you? All that good stuff. And what are we doing tonight? I mean, this is obviously going to come out way later, but her and I are going out tonight.
We're going out tonight. They're releasing a new TV show. Yes. So it would be rude not to, as the men of West Hollywood ourselves, it would be rude not to. So
we have to. Good thing God, I have my breastplate on.
I don't know. Doing that, being creative, working on my second installment with a fashion house. So it's fun. I'm excited for this year. Drained already.
I mean, hello. Everyone's got to get up out of bed.
Anyways, thank you so much, Alexis, for being with us today. And thank you guys for listening. So see you next Wednesday.
Love you. Bye. Stay gorgeous. Mwah.
Thanks to our very special guest, Alexis Stone. And thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, and review. It helps us so much. And follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. See you on the next one.